Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here every week, win, lose or draw. Talking all things United. This is the United People's Podcast.
How are we doing, everyone? Welcome to another episode of the United People's Podcast. It's me, it's Jake and it's Alex. And I tell you what, we're coming here off the back of two clean sheets, two victories. Everything is rosy. Things are looking better, I'll be honest. Burnley, we're going to speak about the Burnley game, about the Bruno volley, it was a dirty performance, but it was a much needed victory. And then the changes in the League Cup against Palace, I'll be honest, that's probably one of the most enjoyable games I've seen from United in a long old time. But big up to both of you. Jake, how you doing? Alex, how you doing?
All good.
Very well, thanks, Sam.
Mate, you got your AirPods working, right? Jake has been trying to get his AirPods working for about 7 pods. And just, I'm guessing he bought them from the market, right? Are they official? Did you get them from Wish?
Actually sent from one of my biggest fans. But they work. Yeah, the AirPods work. For this pod anyway. We'll see you after Crystal Palace on Saturday.
They weren't designed for the ears of Neanderthals.
Better take them out then.
But look, the last pod we had was, it was rough after, what was it? Brighton, Arsenal, and then Bayern Munich. And it was just, we were getting steamed. There was a real negative feeling around the club. Going to Burnley, it was, I'll tell you one thing, a little story here. I massively ballsed up. It was like, what was it? It was last Friday night. I was really getting, we played Burnley on Saturday, didn't we? I think we did.
Yeah, Saturday night.
So get to about like 7:30 on Friday night, and I'm just getting there to go out. I wanted to go Wangaramas. I was like, go on in, that'd be nice. Get a little phone call, random number. When you get a phone call from random numbers, you was like, suspect. Anyway, answered it. And I can't remember his
name.
Trying
to sell you AirPods.
Can't remember his name, but it was the bloke from TNT Sports. And he was ringing me saying, are you going to the game? And I wasn't going to the game. And I was like, it's fucking Burnley, man. It's like a 5-hour drive, was my immediate reaction. He goes, oh yeah, we'd like to do a pitch side interview with you if you're going to the game. You see, did you see the game? And it was Webby who was he kind of spoke to Rio for a little bit before the game.
No, it's bad enough watching the actual game, let alone people talking about it.
Anyway, I was kicking myself because I said no. And then five minutes later, I realized it was probably quite a good opportunity that.
So then, really good.
So then I messaged him back straight away and he goes, no, we've got someone else. So then for like 36.
We've upgraded.
For a full 24 hours.
I'm surprised a shameless self-promoter like yourself would turn that down, Samuel.
That's very harsh. That's very harsh. But yeah, I kicked myself for 24 hours. But I just thought I'd let you know. I haven't told anyone else. It's my dirty secret. It's not exactly a secret anymore. But if they ring next time, I won't say no. Right? That's what I think anyway.
Your chance is gone, mate.
Yeah, I know. I've realised my chance is gone. But anyway, let's move on. Move on to the game.
Talk sport only for you.
Can we just talk about that volley from Bruno for like 10 minutes?
Yeah, I'd be more than happy to. It's obscene.
It was like the technique, over the shoulder, just absolutely everything about it in a game that kind of really lacked a lot of quality. That just was outstanding.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And to be fair, the ball from Johnny Evans, like, I do think he's got enough credit for it. Like, people have given him his due. But left peg, straight over the top. And you just watch it all the way. And you know the hardest thing with one of those is, given that I can't score them, but the hardest thing is, because the defender jumps, you're automatically thinking he's going to get it, or that any sort of touch is going to take it away from you. So you just got to almost convince yourself, no matter what, I'm going to meet this. And if he does touch it, he does touch it. Well, you've got to remove that doubt from your mind. And the connection is just like, yeah, it's so good. The keeper's never got any chance because you can't adjust. He's going one way, can't adjust your feet. And it's getting on target. It's pretty much a goal every time.
Mate, but do you understand the criticism that Bruno gets? Because it feels like he gets it more than most. And I've always found it a bit odd. Because he's literally, by some margin as well, the best player that we've signed post-Fergie. Like, I don't even think it's close.
But sometimes, because he's our best player, he'll be more open to that criticism. And because he's the one that takes most risk, yeah, and going forward, he loses the ball on quite a lot of occasion. But if you look at the areas that he loses the ball, very infrequently does he lose it in a place where we're going to get broken on and concede. I think there was one that stays in my mind, away at Leicester and away at Palace. But those really stick out. He wants to make the difference in the final third, which means he will give the ball away more than most. He will have that, because he's not just trying to pass across 5 yards or 6 yards, 10 yards. He's actually trying to make that difference. And if you look, if Rashford was able to take the ball down out of the air a bit like Bruno can, or like a Phil Foden, Bruno would have so many more assists because he's the one that just delivers that ball over the top, around the corner. But yeah, it's because he...
It just seems a bit irrational to me. It seems a bit irrational to me. But like the Burnley game itself, right? It was, I think we had 25% possession. It wasn't a good game, but we kept the clean sheet. We got the 3 points. It was a sort of like stop the rot sort of game. That's kind of the way I was looking at it. And that's what made Hannibal, these last couple of games, Hannibal was really sort of stood up and been accounted for, isn't he? And I think he deserves a lot of credit. And I think there was a stat that came out. He ran 12.9 kilometers in the game against Burnley, which is the most that any United player has run in any game since 2019. So he grafted. He grafted in the game against Palace as well. What do you make of him? Do you think this is sort of like is this Hannibal's breakthrough, or is he going to be, you know, once Amrabat's fit and Casemiro's rocking like he was against Palace, that, you know, Hannibal's just going to disappear back to the bench again?
Yeah, but even if he disappears back to the bench, I think he's now showing that his involvement in the game is a positive one. As Ten Hag said in one of the interviews, he doesn't just play people for the sake of playing people. It's the fact that they deserve it. He started last night because he deserves to start last night. Obviously, you know my affiliation with Fellaini. And
I can see the picture on the wall behind you still. There it is.
yeah, he's there. He's there. He'll always be there. So Hannibal might be the next, because he's the only player I've ever put on my wall, apart from when I was like six. But yeah, Hannibal may get a little spot there if there's enough for two lots of hair.
Is that just because of the hairstyle?
No, I'm a bit backwards. So I actually did like Fellaini. I thought he was given far too much stick, but that's for another pod. The hair.
I'm relieved you guys can hear me. I was using my daughter's computer when I first joined, and that thing hasn't been restarted since like 2019, I'm pretty sure.
Is it like one of those VTech Fisher Price?
No, it's a proper decent one.
Yeah, it sounds like
get myself one of those.
You must have got it in the same shop you got your AirPods in, mate.
I'm not an ID professional. I'm not an ID professional, just by all Darren Jandu.
She goes on Twitter via the Etch-a-Sketch.
I'm disappointed that I dropped off during the Bruno chat. I just wanted to say that, like, that guy is just above criticism now for me. Like, just by far the most important player we've got in the squad. But Hannibal, I really like what I've seen. The amount of running he put in. I think you were going through some of his running stats, but I think he's done more presses and run more distance than any United player in the last like 5 years or something in his first game there on Saturday against Burnley. So that's the sort of energy we need. Whether he's going to be a you know, long-term sort of solution in midfield.
I don't know whether it's going to be long-term, but I think that if you imagine, like, let's go to the Palace game, right? Last year, if United made seven changes to our starting 11, we're playing absolute cack, and there's going to be no cohesion whatsoever. We made seven changes from the Burnley game. We had Casemiro still in there. We had Mount in there. We had Amrabat in there. We had Garnacho. We had Onana. We had Varane. We had Dalot. And that win against Palace, look, it's just weird, isn't it? Like, as soon as you beat Burnley, oh, it's only Burnley away. Oh, see what you're doing. And you go and beat Palace at home. Oh, it's only Palace at home. Oh, blah, 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 blah. You can just enjoy the fact that you've beaten the opposition who's in front of you and then speak about the next game after that. But that win against Palace was the most complete team performance that we've seen, certainly this season, and for a good old while. And it was how games should go between mid-level teams at Old Trafford and United. Opening 20 minutes, pure patient control, get a nice goal on the 20-minute mark. Crystal Palace slightly come out. We just control it. And that's all it was. We didn't have to run around. It was purely in United's hands. Like the whole game.
If you go back to how we spoke about Amrabat on the pod and our expectation of Amrabat, I think definitely myself and I think someone else touched upon the fact that not only has he got those legs in midfield, he's able to just keep the ball and give it to those people who can make that difference. But it was almost like he had listened to your podcast, Sam, and gone,
he yeah, did. I could do that. Of course. What do you mean? As if he? Of course he did.
I could do that. He goes, he on TNT Sports. It was great to see, and he again must have covered so much ground, and he wasn't really playing in one position. As you know, I don't watch loads of football anymore, but that's how I imagine that John Stones role that they were talking about last year. Where he's a defender one moment, he's a midfielder, he comes across and does whatever. That's how I saw that performance last night, where it's just transition from left back. Often then Lindelof got drawn out to left back when we needed him, and the others shuffled over. I thought it was really clever. And I just, yeah, really, really impressed.
Exactly what you were explaining there. So basically what it is United got four at the back, we go forward, it switches to a three at the back, and then one of the fullbacks will just shift into midfield and become another midfielder. And that's all Amrabat was doing. He was down as left back on paper, but you looked at his position. He goes, "Well, he's basically playing central defensive midfield." And then when Crystal Palace came at us, he went back into the left back position. So it was only there when you needed to defend, really, on paper. It was just, mate, he just made everything tick. And it's like, it's kind of boring to keep going on about these sorts of players. But if you don't have one, you play like United did before. You just you have to get it from defense to attack as quickly as possible, because you can't really just knock it around in the middle, and that's a difference he made. Alex, what did you make of his debut?
Well, I know Palace weren't great. Let's be honest. I mean, they aren't great, and they, particularly last night they weren't great. But I felt like he's a player that we needed in the team for a while, right? A bit of legs, some experience, a bit of strength,
shiny head,
yeah, a shiny dome. But I think, you know, he kind of unlocks Casemiro a bit, right? So Casemiro yesterday could have played with a cigar in his mouth and some slippers on his feet, right? He was just completely in control. And I think, you know, having a guy like him in there just opens things up for all these other more creative players in midfield, like Mount, Casemiro, gives them a bit of security and also obviously helps out the back four.
I think
as well.
Do you know the really annoying thing I felt about that game against Palace is, how many games have we played this season now? Like overall, we played what, six? Is it six in the league? Played League Cup, we played Champions League, eight games or so roughly. And that's the first game that Amrabat started, because we signed him when he had a bloody back injury, whoever it was, same as Hoyland. You're looking at that going, if we had had that player in fully fit for the first game of the season, the way that this season has gone so far would have been significantly different. You know, I suppose it's better late than never. But you look at that, and mate, Alex, you're completely right. It's just balance. It's a balanced midfield now.
It is amazing what a couple of wins against poor opposition can do for the psyche, right? Because I'm back on like the treble fucking bandwagon now. I'm pretty convinced we're going undefeated the rest of the season with everything. Obviously. But yeah, I mean, that is the sort of player we need. I'm really glad we got him in. Obviously, it was frustrating for fans and like us, and for him probably not being able to get involved earlier. But you got to do the right thing, right? Make sure that he's fit, make sure he's there for the long term.
Yeah, of course. You mentioned Casemiro there. Like, Jake, I've been speaking to Casemiro with a few people, and the way I look at it is Casemiro spent however many years around Madrid being, you know, Fred coined the term piano carrier, like the dude who's doing the hard work in the background whilst Kroos and Modric are the two midfielders who are enjoying being creative. It seems like Casemiro's at United and he goes, you know, fuck that, man. I'm not being that. Someone else go and do that screening work. You know, I'm scoring goals. I'm here. I'm going forward. I'm enjoying it. I want to get headers. I want to be on the end of things rather than defending. That's kind of what it seems like with Casemiro. And now that you've got Amrabat, it feels like you might see more of it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a pretty good player. But
he great analysis, right?
I think he really will kind of come and play in his way now. We almost found a balance for him last season at a point where we had kind of we stopped the midfield at certain points, and we went through a period of, I think it was after the World Cup, and we were winning game after game after game, and he was really, really strong in that period, February. I think. February time, and obviously it dropped off kind of March, but yeah, just leading up to the League Cup final, just looked a superb player. Obviously a superb player, but when he's that dangerous in the opposition box as well, you've got to try and utilize that. Don't make him sit. Don't let him go forward. But the problem being is in certain games, I mean, he doesn't have those legs to then sprint 100 yards back quick enough to chase some of these whippets. But you know, if he doesn't need to, then let him go forward and you utilize the other players.
It's good that he pops up with headed goals every once in a while when you're centre halves. One of them's 5'6" and the other one's got a head like a 50p piece. You know, so that's a bit of an added bonus. But it is funny watching Casemiro sprint. He sort of puts his head down and he's like, oh Christ, do I have to? And hopefully with Amrabat there, he doesn't have to do, too much.
Come on,
of
someone
that.
Else run after that. Come on.
Someone, yeah.
That's how anybody.
Someone get me a segue.
Come on, somebody help me out here.
It's a bit like Scholesy at the very end when he was just running in treacle.
Scholes never really had massive amounts of speed, did he? Mate, so, we're talking about sort of Amrabat's work, but some of the diagonals that he was put, I don't know, it's just, I enjoyed it. Just those nice 30-yard switches of play. Just really nice, accurate switches of play. They can open up defences, and that can be quite an important pass, especially for this United team when we're sort of overloading. We should have the fullbacks. Delo, I thought, has been really good in these last few games. And it's kind of a testament to him that he made his full debut at bloody left back and still had that sort of impact on the game, which I think...
Yeah, and said he would play in goal as well if he had to.
You can see the team that Ten Hag wants here, man. That everyone talks about, oh, you know, I don't have an identity left, right, that right there. It's obvious what Ten Hag wants his team to do. It's just they've not always been capable of doing it.
If you look at the two goals that we've just scored, well, two of the goals we've scored. So the Burnley goal, obviously, there's a longer ball from the back. So Johnny Evans kind of plays that. Then you've got. Yeah, was it Mount that played the ball
wide
yesterday for the first goal? But what you then allow is Casemiro to push forward because Mount's dropped in to get the ball, or Mount to go forward because Casemiro's dropped in, or both of them to go forward because Amrabat's dropped in. It's now giving us more options for pushing people forward, and then you know the ball gets taken down out wide, and you've got more supportive options down the right to be able to bring defenders out. Whereas before, we'd kind of almost go, well, the only option we've got is Martial or Hoyland, and we've got to put it across. Whereas now we've got that ability to overload and pull defenders out. So, yeah, real positive last night, I thought.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This is the United People's Podcast.
Would you make any changes for Saturday? What would you do? Because obviously Palace are going to have a stronger team, but Palace were crap. And I'm not sure if you ruined your weekend last week and then you watched Palace against Fulham, but it's one of the worst 0-0s I've ever seen in my life. It was crap. It was absolutely abysmal. That was them at Selhurst Park. Like,
hopefully I can put your mind at ease, Sam, and assure you that I did not.
I'm glad that you enjoyed your weekend.
I was wallpapering my fridge, but I absolutely would not watch that. But again, in regards to changes, there's two that make themselves, whether you agree or not. If Bruno comes in 100%
yep.
every time, and obviously Rashford will come in 100%. Whether we feel that his form deserves that, he will. You're dependent on the fitness of the back four.
On the Rashford thing, like what is your take on Rashford at the moment? Because he seems to be a player. I saw loads of fans doing it after the game. Oh, instead of like focusing on the positives, he goes, well, if Rashford was in that team, he wouldn't have had that performance. Rashford and Bruno seem to be the two main players, I think, right now that have been getting a lot of shtick from some United fans. What do you think is going on with Rashford? For me, I think he's struggling to, well, he's not struggling, but he's adjusting to life with Haaland. It's a different play. You saw it in the Burnley game. I saw it in both games, actually.
I was going to say, it's lucky he wasn't there last night because he would have needed a suitcase full of shirts. Everybody in the front row had a sign asking for his shirt. Absolute beggars, man. But I think obviously...
I won't take it next time.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, just like a piece of like Amazon box with Rashford can have your shirt on it and your dad's sitting next to you. It's ridiculous. But yeah, look, I mean, obviously he comes back into the team. Obviously he's one of our most important players. His form's not been great, but you've got to remember he scored 30 goals last year. And I think, you know, he's missed a few chances and perhaps he's just needs... need to run in a more efficient team, which we look like over the last couple of games.
Attacking players are often judged by their stats as well. But in fact, he creates a fair bit and he creates havoc for defenders, especially in that first 20 minutes of the game. Defenders don't want anything to do with him. And I genuinely think we often touch upon that first 20, 25 minutes. I think if we are to put the ball in the net during that period, I think Rashford stays alive. But he almost kind of after that time, when the game starts to settle down, it's harder for him to then get in behind defenders or get round defenders, etc., without using other people.
That's exactly what we did against Palace yesterday. Like we had 20 minutes running, we were just controlling the game. And then I think it was the first real chance, the low into Garnacho, goal on the 20th minute mark. And then we had the control of the game from that point. I think you're completely right. 100% I'm bringing Rashford in. I'm bringing Haaland in as well, if he's fit. Who would you play on the right wing? Because I think there's a possibility Mason Mount starts there against Crystal Palace. I don't know whether Palistri, he was exciting. He was really good against Palace, apart from the final product. He basically ran at his man. He had the work the whole time. There was a bit towards the end when he basically turned his man in Crystal Palace defender in attacking.
Yeah,
turned
really
his
enjoyed
man
that.
And just ran 20 yards forward. Really good ball carrying from him. What do you think about Mason Mount starting right wing? Because I thought he played pretty well for 45 minutes, got taken off. Do you think he comes in there? Because then you could play Amrabat, Casemiro and Bruno in midfield. You could play a Mount out on the right wing and you know he's got the defensive work rate. And I think he could be very creative from there as well. Mount crosses into Haaland, for example. What do you reckon?
Well, as long as Bruno's not shifted out there, that's the main thing for me.
Yeah, he's not.
And he gets frustrated out there. He's not effective. I think Mount's probably the only option really at the moment. I mean, Palistri, I don't think he's really ready to be starting Premier League.
You could start Garnacho out on the right.
Yeah, that's the other option. But again, I think he's so valuable because our squad, I mean, we've got a few people back from injury, but our squad's still pretty thin. And having him as an impact sub if you need a goal is invaluable. So I do think that starting with the sort of safer player in Mount, more experienced player, probably what I go with, but who am I to tell 10 hours?
Just don't know whether, if you look at the players, we've just spoken about the system and overloading players in certain areas and such. But if you look at you know, when you've got Amrabat, Casemiro, Bruno, all going to be kind of central in a way. Do you then put Mount in again? And do you think that Mount gives you more as a right attacker than a Pulisic, a Garnacho, or any of our other options? And I guess he's also got to be looking at formations with or without Anthony going forward.
Yeah.
So he's got to have that in his mind, even for games against Palace now. You know, what is going to be my plan going forward? If Mason Mount isn't going to be that plan going forward there, then are you just filling a hole? Or do you actually say no?
Maybe you play Hoyland and Rashford as like split strikers with Bruno as like a false nine, and then Mount is the third man.
I don't like that midfield diamond against Brighton, man. That was fucking garbage. I'm not sure I want to see that again. I think the width suits United. Like, the width really helped us against Palace. Those wide balls from deep, I think that's quite important to this team. So I'd be surprised if we use the midfield diamond again, I'll be honest.
I think Mason Mount getting, I nearly called him Mason then. Can't even be one name, Mason. Him coming off yesterday, I think, is a pretty decent signal that he might be used at the weekend, whether he starts or not.
It's good. But
you know, I think a lot of our attacks end up going down the left anyway, no matter who we've got on the right wing. We sort of end up, especially when Shaw's fit. So I expect to see kind of a bit more of that at the weekend. And obviously, if Mount's there, he's a bit more creative, can drift inside, can kind of arrive in the box. That's probably the lineup I'd expect.
Rashford would definitely start on the left, though. What's your predictions then? Pumped them in the League Cup. They'll play a stronger team, but as I said, man, they were so garbage against Fulham. United have got to dispatch them.
Yeah, it's dangerous because all of a sudden I fancy us, and I don't know. It's pretty irrational because we've struggled to beat Burnley, and then we've beaten Palace's B team, but. I fancy 2-0, I think.
Fancy 2-0. Really think that, I mean, I'm not too sure I would call that a Palace B team. I think they did rest some, but I don't see...
Technically a United B team.
Yeah, I don't see huge options for Palace. Again, probably going to sound like a broken record, but a lot of it will boil down to that first 20, 25 minutes. If we get ahead, we win the game. I'm absolutely no doubt about that, because we will be set up to just take games away from teams like Palace. But again, the more it goes 0-0 and, you know, half an hour in, 35 minutes in, you know, and you've got people like Eze being able to run at your defence from any kind of position on the field, they'll come back in. But yeah, we'll score twice.
Mate, isn't it weird, right? If it's 0-0 and you're playing like possession, patient build-up football, the crowd gets impatient, everyone gets angry. But if you're just 1-0 up, everyone's like, oh, love this. This is fantastic. Because you're just taking the game away from the opposition team. You're inviting them forward to then hit them and in the spaces that they leave. And that's what Ten Hag wants. The early goal, I hope we get that goal within 20 minutes, man. We are still due a spanking of a team. We've been served many a spanking. Hopefully that'll be Palace on Saturday. I think I'm going to go for a 3-1. Going for a 3-1. Don't think we'll get three clean sheets in a row, but I think we'll get 3 points. That's what I'm hoping for anyway. But before we wrap up, I want to have a quick few minute chat about Jadon Sancho. Right? We can mention that at the end. But
he's got more
Sancho,
chance
man.
Of playing in that this weekend than he has for United.
Mate, it's all a bit... It just seems childishly stubborn at this point. I don't know what way to describe it, because... I mean, do you think there's any way back from here, I think, is a question I want to ask you.
Yeah, well, I think you asked that in the group, possibly yesterday, I think. And my answer was, there is a way back, but it depends on him. I think Ten Hag, and we touched upon it on another pod, we all thought Ronaldo had been pushed out at one point, but he brought him back before the whole interview. And so there was an open door to say, look, do what I ask and you can come back. And I think Jadon Sancho's got that as well. But if you haven't apologized by now, and you have, or whether he needs to apologize or do something different or whatever, he came out and said, I will fight for this club, fight for my place, or wherever it might have been. But you're obviously not, because regardless of whether you agree, it's quite simple what you have to do. It's been set out by the manager or the club. You need to do this if you want to be part of my plans. He hasn't done it. It tells me he's not actually interested in playing for Manchester United. under the current, you know, like management. So it's all on him. The door's open, but I don't think
it's another massive failure though, Jake. Like overall, I can't see really how he comes back from this. And also, like, in terms of as a character, the red flags were there that I, at the time, I wasn't really aware of, but the club definitely was. The fact that Dortmund felt he stayed up all night playing video games, and that like he was more interested in playing FIFA online than he was in preparing properly for matches. You know, the fact that he's said literally the same thing when he was at Dortmund about being scapegoated. He's just a, he's not a winner. He's just got massive loser energy about him. And I can't believe I made that bet at the beginning of the season. I'm going to be walking out of the mascot QPR.
Yeah, we need to get that. I need to speak to my mate Jim.
It's for kids under the age of 12. So
yeah, but that's exactly why you're going to do it.
what we'll have to do is try and like pretend it's stag do or something like that again.
Pretend he's 12.
That would be pushing it, I think.
be all right if it was Ash.
A 12-year-old with a great.
I've seen Benjamin Button. It exists.
Well, you know,
be all right if it was Ash that made the bet. Yeah.
That was Discovery Channel Benjamin Button. Factual story of Benjamin Button. Isn't that what it's called?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure his real name was Alexander. No, his real name was Alexander, I think. Yeah,
based on a true story, except we reversed his aging process.
But anyway, can't wait to see you walking out.
When I saw that bet come through, I'd like to think I'm quite level-headed about football and such like that. I could not believe the shout that he would get. What was the bet? How many goals and assists?
It was 10 goals or assists?
10 goals and assists, all competitions.
And I could, like, I'm just thinking about what on earth gave you the impression that would happen.
I think it's a pretty reasonable bet. Or was it just in the league? It might have just been in the league, actually.
But didn't he get nine last season, goals and assists?
I think it was slightly more than the 10 across goals and assists. But
no,
either
it was
way,
10. It was 10.
I think my comment was only if we signed Ruud van Nistelrooy would he get that many. Like, and it was just like anyone could assist that man. But yeah, to bet
you'd love to assist
your
Ruud,
pride.
Matt has not only won that bet.
Don't do anything to him.
Matt has won that bet to a zero as well because, yeah, he ain't got not
incredible.
No. We have won that bet.
So everybody, you can hear in the pod now.
I'm pretty sure you were involved in it, Sam.
What do you mean involved in it?
I'm pretty sure.
Don't try and drag me down because you're the Titanic's gone down. There's one bit of wood. I'm on it. I'm not sharing it with you. All right.
Or was it Neil? It must have been Neil.
Don't try and drag Neil down because he's not here to defend himself.
I'm going to have to drag him into it. I'm going to have to.
Mate, Alex, when you're walking out with Sean Derry, or I don't even know who plays for QPR anymore, but Neil Warnock's probably going to be their manager by that point. When you're walking out, will you wear like 70s style shin pads? You know, the ones with the ankle protectors, and like you have to gaffer tape them up.
Hang on a minute. Are you telling me there are alternatives to 70s style ankle protector shin pads?
John, I still take my spare pair of shin pads, which I've had since the 90s, and they are Man United ones with ankle protectors, sponsored by Umbro. Yeah, sponsored by Umbro, right? I still take them because if someone in the changing rooms is like, well, I haven't got my shinies, I pull them out and they just go, no, I just get some cardboard. You know what I mean? I'll send you a picture of them so you can put it out to your followers and you can just see how old they are. I think I've gone to Woolworths probably.
Jeez, that's a blast from the past. But look, on Sunday, hopefully we'll be back here after another lovely 3 points. We'll be back here after the Ryder Cup. Alex, who are you back in? Obviously, I know Ryder Cup won't be finished by that point.
Well, it'll be Sunday. It'll be singles and it will be finished. If we're talking in the evening, it will be finished. So,
all right. Well, who are you back in?
Well, yeah, USA have got the class, haven't they? But I just think Europe have got a bit of momentum. Some of their players are in good form, so I'll back them.
There you go. Heard it here first. Hot take. Yeah, the teams look a bit obvious because of
USA haven't won in Europe since 1993, and they've been favouring pretty much every single one of them. So
since I've had those shin pads.
Yeah.
Since Hardy
got his shin pads, yeah. I bet they absolutely reek, don't they? Vinegar flavored shin pads.
Well, not to me. You get used to your own smell.
No, considering how bad that with you. It's like wearing a watch.
For what it's worth,
it's like smelling under a watch.
For what it's worth, I'm going USA to come home with it.
I reckon Europe by 2 points. There you go.
Boot.
How about that? How about that? Look, so we'll be back hopefully. You'll be listening to it on Monday after the weekend. Hopefully another 3 points in the bag. It is amazing what a couple of wins can do, even if it is against Burnley and Palace's B team. Against Palace. We'll see if we make it 3 out of 3. And we'll be back then. Thanks for listening. Make sure you give us a 5-star review if you enjoyed it. See ya.
This is a United People's TV and Listening Dog Media production.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.